Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, August the 15th, 2014. Hope you had a productive week and are looking forward to a great weekend. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream the show for anywhere in the world listening at any time at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our media partners, tucsonsentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. And we're happy to announce this week our newest media partner, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and tucsonlifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Stephen Brigham, past president of the January 8th Memorial Foundation Board. Stephen is Director of Capital Planning and Projects for the UA Health Network. The January 8th Memorial Foundation has launched a national search for a design team to create a permanent memorial to the January 8th, 2011 mass shooting that left 6 dead and 14 wounded, including then United States Representative Gabrielle Giffords. Joining me to question Mr. Brigham is Dan Scheer. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. If you have a question or comment about the January 8th memorial process, we welcome you to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and we also invite you to become a friend of the Bill Buckmaster Show on Facebook. Dan, good to see you.
Good afternoon, Bill.
And Stephen, good to see you again. Thank you very much.
It's great to be here. Thanks for your continuing interest in this.
Tell me a little bit about why a memorial. I've had people say to me, well, why do we need a memorial? And some folks are of the belief that the memorial just opens up some very painful memories. So why do we need this memorial, Stephen Brigham?
Well, I think that's a question that we always have to ask ourselves. And we, as volunteers on the foundation, continually ask ourselves, but as we meet with stakeholders, and by stakeholders I mean those families and individuals who were directly involved in the shooting, and then first responders, others involved in the event, they remind us of what a horrible tragedy this was, but also what a great response we had as a community. Remember, the president came here to talk to us about what this meant and how we responded. So we have a lot to remember, but we also have a lot to celebrate. And I think that celebration, that opportunity to celebrate our community, is really one of the things that brings this together, as well as remembering that this was an important Congress on Your Corner activity, event, that was trying to connect a member of our federal government to our local community that was just so rudely interrupted. So there's a lot of stories behind this, and I think a lot of opportunities to bring the community again together like they were that January.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Can you give us a sense of where we are in the whole process and when actually we might see a memorial put up?
Well, as you know, it's been a couple of years here since we've been since the tragedy. So we spent the first couple of years really trying to find a location, get ourselves organized as a volunteer group, and struggling with a location because, like, unlike other memorials, where a specific location lent itself to a memorial, we knew that the Safeway store was not the right place for a permanent memorial. The hospital was not. The congresswoman's office was not the right location. So we struggled with that. And a great thing happened with the leadership of Pima County and the city of Tucson and other community leaders who suggested downtown, the revitalization of downtown, and the fact that downtown is the seat of our community, the seat of our local government. And here we have an opportunity to create a memorial downtown. So right now, where we are is that the county leadership, the city leadership, passed joint resolutions this past January and gave us a miraculous site at the Pima County Courthouse that interfaces the El Presidio Park. So we have a location. And with the help of the Tucson Pima Arts Council, we are now in a search for that designer to help us create a memorial, get us a design, but also an important part of this is to create a master plan for that park.
Now, that would be the exterior part of this, and there are actually three components, I understand, to the memorial. There would be an indoors component, more a museum, if you will, or some kind of a permanent display in the courthouse. Then you would have the exterior portion. And there are so many stories that will live on from that day, so it would be wonderful to archive those through the internet, right?
Right. That's an important part of the concept for the memorial. It's not just a piece of public art. There's a very important activity that's taking place as we speak on the internet. We are also wanting to collect stories, so we're spending a little bit of money to record and capture those stories from first responders to families to civic leaders who are involved in this. So all those core elements of the story are being captured and will be put on and are being put on the internet and through social media. We have a great Facebook presence that reminds us all of the great things that happened.
Yeah, because this is one of those events, and Dan, I think you would echo this, that everyone, if you were in town at the time, you remember exactly where you were when you heard the news that Congresswoman Giffords had been shot. I mean, I know, for me, the memory is just as vivid as can be.
I think that's true for everybody, and not just people in Tucson, but people throughout Arizona. I mean, the world came to Tucson during that month to connect to this, to understand it, to express condolences, and it touched everybody. So that's a part of this story that we want to capture and continue to make present on the internet. And then you mentioned the inside presence, which is not our focus right now. That's an opportunity once the county gets some funding for the renovation of the Pima County Courthouse. We want to have an indoor presence with our colleagues at the county and also possibly the Tucson Museum of Art, who may have an exhibit there. So that's the second part of it.
Stephen Brigham is with us from the January 8th Memorial Foundation. He's the past president, and not everyone agrees, as we said at the beginning of the program, about whether we should even have a memorial. I believe we have one of those people with us now. Dan is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Dan. You're with Stephen Brigham.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, as a native Arizonan a long time, and I know plenty of them here, and we all hate this idea of building such a memorial. All these lefties from the east are trying to do is downgrade Arizona, make it look bad, and I suspect that all the people that are pushing this thing are either from Chicago, New York, or Philadelphia. And I believe the sheriff, and the sheriff who hates Arizona, obviously by what he said, is probably one of the county people that's really pushing this.
All right. Okay, Dan, we get the picture here that you're not in favor of it, but you do make some assumptions there. But anyway, I'll let Stephen Brigham answer the question.
You know, Dan, you do raise an important perspective, which we need to recognize. And I will tell you, as a native Arizonan, I was born in Tucson. I struggled with this, too. This is memorials are difficult. There's no question about that. But I think regardless of political persuasion or party affiliation, we have been contacted from people from all persuasions that feel that this is an important opportunity to show what Tucson is really about in terms of how we can talk to each other, how we can connect to local government. And also remember that this is not just an exterior memorial design. We feel that we have an opportunity to refurbish and show a vision for an important downtown park, which we hope will be Tucson's Central Plaza. It's the intersection of government, from county leadership to city leadership. The federal government office building is nearby. There's a lot of things that circle this space, and I think we have an opportunity to show through really some consensus design work that we can not only create a memorial, but we can also restore to Tucson, downtown Tucson, a wonderful central plaza.
And Bill, if I might, step in here. Shortly after the shooting, we had a small memorial put up in a corner near, on La Posada in Green Valley, and it was. It's a bench, it's a rock, it's a plaque, it's a place for people just to go and reflect, and it's and it honors Gabe Zimmerman, one of the people who was shot, who was an aide to Representative Giffords, and Gabe was very much involved in our community. And it's interesting what the caller said, because, you know, you look at this memorial and do you think bad things? Well, I look at it now years after it went up, and I remember somebody who truly gave himself to our community, and to this date, that's being felt. So it is important. I do understand the sentiments of the caller, but memorials are important, and memorials, we have to be very careful when we put them up to make sure they're done for the right reasons and that they say the right thing.
Well, why don't we get into some other cities and what they have done with some of their memorials, Stephen Brigham, after we take our first break here on the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:16. Dan Scheer is with us as well from the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. And we do welcome your comments, 790-2040. If you have an opinion about this, perhaps you agree with Dan, or perhaps Dan the caller, and perhaps you do not agree with him. We'd love to hear from you either way. Back right after this. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
C. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. Stephen Brigham is with us. Stephen's the past president of the January 8th Memorial Foundation Board. We're talking about the memorial that will be going in design. There has been a request for design folks to submit designs for the memorial, which will be in the El Presidio Park. But we have a lot of interest in this, Stephen, so we're going to go back to the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040, and I believe Jim has a question or comment for you, Stephen. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for your interest.
Good. My question is, this thing seems to me that I don't object to a memorial at all, but it seems to me it should be placed in a populous venue rather than a political venue, not near City Hall or someplace like that, but a Reed Park or someplace where it isn't political. It seems it should be placed someplace where it's more affable to the people rather than the government.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
That is a great question, and we're always reminded when we start talking about this specific memorial that this was an event regarding government. This was about Congress on your corner, Congresswoman Giffords coming to the local community to connect to her constituents. So this very much had an act of government that was interrupted. So it has a government theme already. The great thing about this site is that it's not just on the edge of government, right on the edge of the historic Pima County Courthouse, but it's also intersecting with a public space. And so, as you may have heard me talk about earlier, we did look at a lot of public spaces. We looked at parks. We looked at the Rito River Park. We looked at a lot of other public spaces. And while there are wonderful places, it didn't resonate relative to the theme of what we're trying to accomplish, which is to remember and commemorate the fact that it's important that we have the ability to connect to government, and that when that connection is severed, as it was on that month, that we remind ourselves that we need to be able to have access to local government, to federal government, to all levels of government. And I think this particular location speaks to that theme quite eloquently.
Here's Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun.
We mentioned this just before the break. Have you been out to see other national memorials, Oklahoma City, 9/11, Shanksville, things like that? And how have they played a role in how this thing is shaping up?
We went through a very deliberate early process before we even started talking about how to build something or where to even build it. We even asked our question of what is a memorial. We went through the whole analysis, and with the College of Architecture from the university, we looked at what is a memorial. So very quickly, we went to those memorials that are national memorials, such as the Oklahoma City National Memorial, that is now, I think, about 20 years old, commemorating a tragic bombing of a federal building. We also touched base with our colleagues at Shanksville, Pennsylvania, who were putting together the Flight 93 9/11 memorial. Those folks, those directors, were very helpful in advising us to not rush into this, make sure you get it right, get the concept right, get the location right, and make sure you have public support, because while Oklahoma City was a federal building and it had some federal public money participating in that, what they told us was that most of the money that went into that was from private citizens that just felt that this was an important thing for Oklahoma City. And if you go to Oklahoma City now, it's one of the the major visitation sites. It's very important not only to those who live in Oklahoma City, but to those that remember this and want to touch and be with that memorial.
All right. Terry is with us next. And Terry, we're quickly running out of time. So if you would give us your comment very quickly was to Stephen Brigham. Go ahead, Terry.
Hi, how are you reading me? Okay.
Yeah, sounds
Thank
good.
Thank you. Oh, okay, Bill, Steve, good to talk to you. Was there a judge role involved in that death?
That's correct.
Well, I really want to contribute to him, but and everybody else that died, but also this should not, and I repeat, not. I support Dan halfway and halfway with you, that as we speak, city council and actually listening to the show like he always does faithfully, that they're planning and scheming to have another day off for city and state federal a Memorial Day for that. So let's not get too carried away with government events. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
Great.
All right. Go ahead. If you want to address that.
I can't really speak to the day
really,
off.
Okay. It's kind of out of your, what's above your pay grade, I guess.
I would love a day off as related to this, but don't think I'll have that opportunity.
So the process continues now with the design. You'll be you're calling for folks to submit the design ideas, and then what does the chronology look like for that?
Yeah, so we are issuing a request for qualifications through the Tucson Pima Arts Council, and for anybody that needs more information, they have a website that I believe is Tucson Pima Arts Council, all one word, .org. So they have issued this RFQ. Nationally, and it's a very unique RFQ in that it would be very easy to select designers who have vast experience in doing large public spaces or memorials. What we wanted to do is also make it available to those designers, those artists, or those citizens perhaps that may have an idea that may not have a lot of experience creating memorials. So we've written this RFQ in a way to allow for very experienced designers and maybe those who don't have a lot of experience to submit something. So it's a very unique situation. We're expecting those submittals to come in at the end of September. Our goal is, and we're always reminded of the anniversary, so mm-hmm. the goal for January 8th, 2015 is that we would have a selected artist and team to help us put this together.
But then you would not have the memorial in place for another 2 years. Isn't that what the timeline is?
That's our best guess. Now, remember that we haven't fully raised all the funds for this. And, of course, for your listeners out there, there's plenty of opportunity to donate to this because we want this to be a citizen's memorial, not just a government memorial. But if our fundraising is successful, perhaps we could accelerate that. But we put 2 years after we select the designer as a safe schedule for ourselves.
But while it is a community effort here, really this is not a popularity contest. It's not like you're going to put three different versions out there and have people weigh in. Frankly, that could become a mess real quickly.
That's correct.
Vote online. No, there'll be a selection.
There's a panel,
or committee, right?
Yeah. Representing professional designers locally, as well as neighborhood representatives, downtown representatives. We have to remember this is a public space, but it's also adjacent to important neighborhoods downtown. So we want to make sure that we're hearing the voices of those who will be involved in this.
Is there a limit to the space? I mean, are you talking certain parameters?
Well, we did define a general geographic mm-hmm. zone mm-hmm. of where we would expect the memorial to be, which is literally at the face of the west entrance, the historic entrance to the Pima County Courthouse and the park. But as I mentioned, we want to give the county and the city a master plan so that when we're talking about our memorial, it fits into the park. Because the park needs some refurbishment. It's been an important space for Tucson, but it hasn't always been serving the interests of a lot of the community events that come down there, such as Tucson Meets Yourself. I think they deserve a better space. I think all the other events that go down there could use a better space than what's currently there.
The current kind of group that we have an active memorial, not a permanent
structure in the ground, but we have the day to remember on January 8th where folks get out and are encouraged to go outside and do volunteer work. Are you coordinating with them at all?
Yes. Are you talking about the anniversary events like the Beyond events?
That's it. It slipped my mind. It's Beyond.
In addition to the hospital, because the hospital is very involved in this, we have an annual event, a bell ringing event on the front lawn of the hospital. And so the anniversary is always a reminder for ourselves that there's a lot to remember and celebrate.
Thank you, Stephen Brigham, for being with us. Folks can find out more information by going to which website would you suggest?
I would say if you're very interested in the RFQ, that you go to the memorial at TucsonPimaArtsCouncil.org. If you're interested in the memorial itself, TucsonsMemorial.org.
All right. Thank you very much. Back right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. There is still plenty of anger in Ferguson, Missouri, where police have now identified the officer whose fatal shooting of an unarmed black teen ignited days of heated protest. Police have also released documents alleging that Michael Brown was killed after a convenience store robbery in which he was suspected of stealing a box of cigars. Reports of a Russian incursion into Ukraine have spooked the global financial markets today, sending stocks lower. Wall Street has now recovered somewhat. The Dow is still down, but only 66 points. The Nasdaq actually has turned higher. It's up 4 points. A New York sheriff says that two young Amish sisters, now back safe home, had been kidnapped from their family's farm stand, and police say they're now seeking more than one person as suspect. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry, What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Time for our Friday roundtable. Miguel Ortega joins us. Miguel, well-known small business advocate, an advocate of not only downtown Tucson, but trying to get people to shop and buy locally. And Miguel, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Dan Scheer sticks around from our interview with Stephen Brigham. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Some very interesting things and about the memorial and the January 8th memorial that is planned for El Presidio Park. And Miguel, I'd like to hear some of your opinion on this. I know you were listening to the interview. Think it's a good idea to have the memorial in El Presidio Park?
Well, I mean, I think it's a good idea. It's a proper and obvious idea to remember what happened on that day. And, you know, the concept in general should be a no-brainer. That's what happens when you have significant times in history. You want to be able to, honor that memory, whether tragic or whatever, and move forward. It shapes who we are. It's part of who we are. Now, as far as the location, it certainly would be nice to find a way to do something good and remember what happened, and also provide new amenities and do a little bit more on the east side of the downtown area. Mm. Because certainly, I'm sorry, the west side of the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly the east side, there's a lot going on there with the businesses and the arts and that kind of thing. It's unfortunately, it's being politicized. Folks have problems with the fact that it involved politicians on the left. But it's just, I find that distasteful to politicize that. It's a memorial. You can debate the cost, you can debate the location, but let's all come together as Tucsonans, you know.
And, I'd agree. And what I'm interested to see here is what a memorial looks like that properly remembers the tragedy of it, but also the good in what happened. And you had alluded to it earlier, Bill. There was a lot of good that came out of that, mm-hmm. that awful event. And mm-hmm. I think we learned a lot about ourselves and about the community. So I'm really looking forward to this being a memorial that really hits both of those angles.
While we're talking about downtown and the memorial going down there, Miguel, folks, the naysayers still out in force saying yeah. Now that after the initial run of the 3-day free ride, right. They always say there's no free lunch. Well, there was certainly a free ride when it came to the modern streetcar.
Right.
3 days, the initial 3-day weekend, 60,000 people rode the modern streetcar. Now folks are saying they are reporting on Facebook all the time, I just saw the modern streetcar go by and there was not one person on board. So it's a huge failure, they say.
Well, you know, I joke with my wife and tell her that modern streetcar was, this should really anger some people. It was built just for me because all those millions of dollars was just for me because I do a lot of business along that route. Mm-hmm. And so I use it every day pretty much. And here's the thing, it's just kind of interesting because you have the blind cheerleaders on one side and you have the absolute haters on the other side. And so it's so much pressure for just basically a mode of transportation, you know? I mean, if anybody's ridden on the New York subway or any, you know, subway or mode of transportation anywhere in a big city, sometimes you and another guy might be the only ones on it. It happens, just like a sidewalk. On a sidewalk, sometimes it's crowded. Maybe there's a football game or whatever, and it's serving its purpose. It's providing a mode of transportation for pedestrians. And guess what? Sometimes there isn't anybody on it. You know, you can't judge the success of this on it being completely packed every single minute or empty. It's ridiculous. That said, I mean, the cheerleaders are also kind of it's a concern of mine, because there are still some issues. I mean, I have concerns about the fact that they're not really promoting that 30-day pass. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. That 30-day pass should be available at each stop. I don't mm-hmm. understand why they're only selling passes at $4. It just makes no sense. And then they're not the Menlo name, or the Mercado name on the west side is problematic for me. It's like, how do you suddenly name a district Mercado when that place was built like a couple of years ago?
So you've
ago,
got you've got a few know. Issues.
That, yeah, but at the end of the day, it's successful. Let's get beyond it. Let's move on.
Dan, you were working in the Phoenix area at the Arizona Republic family of papers, right?
Correct.
Gannett, and when the they don't call it the modern streetcar in Phoenix, they just call it. What do they call it? The
light rail.
Okay.
Yeah. When that opened up, and so the detractors will have probably more to kvetch about here coming up, because about 8 months after the light rail opened, they increased the price of tickets about 40%. Now these things never pay for themselves. We understand it, and like you say, it's a mode of transportation. What's interesting for us down in Green Valley is several couples I know personally in their 80s and 90s, Bill, drove up here just so they could drive right on the streetcar here in Tucson, mm-hmm. and part of it was because it was a throwback for them. It was kind of, back in the olden days, the only way they could get around, and for them it was like, you know, hey, I remember this, around in the courthouse and down the square and everything, and one of them actually wrote a piece for us last Sunday on riding the streetcar up here, but they mentioned the same thing you did about the mm-hmm. kiosks and the $4 passes, and that's all there was, and they were a little frustrated by that.
Right.
So
790-2040, 790-2040, the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Let's talk about politics, gentlemen. We are only 10 days away from the Arizona primary. Really interesting poll, Dan Scheer, on the governor's race. It really, according to this poll that was done in Maricopa County, it's pretty much Ducey and the mayor of Mesa,
Scott Smith,
fighting it out here.
Correct.
Within a few statistical points of tying each other.
Correct. I think they're within 3 or 4 points of each other, and there actually were 2 polls, and they both are pretty much saying the same thing. The one you're referring to was early voters out of Maricopa County, and it's Doug Ducey is ahead, but Scott Smith is certainly charging forward. Boy, what happened to Christine Jones?
Yeah, what happened?
That's a great question. I interviewed her.
I wonder if her aligning herself with Sheriff Babu might have hurt.
Well,
doing
primary
Babu,
I mean,
tour. Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, some folks might see it in a primary that actually helps. I mean, everybody's fighting mm-hmm. each other to be the biggest controller of the border. You know, and so I don't know. It's crazy.
You were Dan was just going to say that I think you interviewed.
I interviewed Christine Jones yesterday. She believes she's the only one who can beat Fred Duvall, and that perhaps we're going to be in a lot of trouble if you're a Republican when this is all over. If she doesn't win, of course, I would expect her to say that. What we've been debating down there in Green Valley also is the whole idea of endorsements, and Arpaio and Sarah Palin, are those necessarily good endorsements? If you are Doug Ducey, I think not, but we'll see what happens with Scott Smith. It's a late charge. The question is there enough time left for him to make up that ground?
If Smith does make it, maybe it says something about politics shifting a little bit in Arizona, and maybe there is a little bit more of a moderate turn. Who knows? Or perhaps it's just as crazy as it always has been. I mean, I think the Tucson Weekly did a great job in covering kind of some of the craziness
that's gone on in this campaign.
So
crazy that the chairman of the Republican Party came out this week saying folks, we are really digging a hole for ourselves here with the general election, with Fred Duvall waiting in the wings, the Democratic candidate who is running for governor. And this mudslinging is really going to hurt, I think he used the word, hurt the Republican brand big time.
It's very possible. You know, one of the things that if I can, Bill, mm-hmm. one of the things that I would say about the Democrats, local Democrats, I wonder if they're not quite getting, if there is a shift to more, you know, a normal state, if they're not missing the boat. Because when Huppenthal came up with his, anonymous blogging and or whatever, they had an opportunity to openly state their outrage, and they didn't. And what I think we all found out that it was a cold political strategy. And basically the strategy was, let's not mess with him because he's the perfect guy to beat in the general. Mm-hmm. We want him
right.
to win, actually. So it's kind of this counterintuitive, weird thing. Mm-hmm. My problem with that is that you can't put all your eggs in one basket. We expect our public servants to call craziness or racism or whatever when it happens. And so I think that's too Machiavellian.
You're saying the Democrats hoping that Huppenthal advances so he will, so
the strategy.
Yeah, the strategy.
Yeah,
the strategy,
it's really.
To me, I see it as a disconnect because it's like, you know, you can't do that. You have to continue to call things for what they are. Because then you offend people. There was only some Facebook posts, I think it was. It was just too surgical, mm-hmm. and it's not going to help us in the end. I think it's a gamble.
Well, I'll tell you that the Democrats aren't doing a whole lot because of the primary season. They don't have some contested races. But on Sunday, down in Amato, they drew about 300 people at a Democrat rally, and Ron Barber was there, and Kari mm-hmm. Halva, and lots of others. Fred Duvall was there. And so they're ready. They are ready for the general. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
So they're really, the races that were watching closely, the Huppenthal state superintendent of public instruction versus Diane Douglas. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting race to see who will advance. And then you've got the situation with the attorney general.
Right.
Whether Tom Horn can weather the storm or whether Mr. Brnovich will move on to face Felicia Rotellini.
Right, and Felicia is, Rotellini, the Democrat, is mm-hmm. Very formidable, and she absolutely knows what she's doing, and she's been kind of laying low here, and while the other two are trying to figure things out. But if Tom Horn moves ahead, I tell you, I have lost faith in pretty much everything on earth if he if he wins, because it's just, I guess people aren't reading the news if he advances, and it's really, it's depressing, I'll be honest with you, that he is even still in the race.
And that kind of makes my point in that, you know, there is an opportunity here to really shed light on the craziness. I mean, think people are, even those that are the most ardent supporters of these guys have to start to, they must be scratching their head now. So it's an opportunity, I think, for the Democrats to say, see, I told you, this is pretty crazy, instead of being so cautious and surgical about the whole thing.
Down in Green Valley, the police chief is moving on. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah, the police chief of Sahuarita, John Harris, is moving on. The funny thing is why he's moving on. He has been there 8 years. This is his third retirement, by the way. He retired from Tucson Police in 93. He was the police chief in Springfield, Illinois for 10 years. He retired there in 2003. Then he came down to Sahuarita. And now he's retiring because he has drawn a tag for an Arizona bighorn sheep that he's going to go shoot later on this year. He has been waiting for that tag for 25 years.
And
not only that, but two other tags up in Wyoming that he's been waiting a decade for. They all came through at the same time. And he says, you know, to go off shooting, I would have had to take 3 months off, and I just can't afford to do that. So he is retiring. And I will tell you this guy came to Sahuarita at a time when we really needed stability. They had gone through several police chiefs in a very short amount of time, and interim police chiefs. And he came and gave some experience and some just a really solid foundation to build on at a time that the town needed it. So we salute John Harris, and we look forward to the search for his replacement.
I don't think I've ever heard of such a reason.
That's great. It's great.
I salute you on your pronunciation of Sahuarita.
Quickly, also, Dan, a local school board in your area, not a they're not very happy with the Ames?
We have two school districts down there. One is a one-school school district. It's called Continental, and it's been around a real long time, and they are not real happy with their C rating, and the school board's pretty upset about it, and they're going to try to figure this out. And, of course, now everyone is in spin mode because even Sahuarita has received a couple of grades that it doesn't think it deserves. It has a very, very good brand-new high school that was penalized because it's new, ended up with a C rating, probably should have at least been a B, but there are certain points you can't qualify for if you're new, which of course to me sounds unfair. But I'll tell you this, I think overall we put way too much stock in those grades. I think they're an indicator, but they're not an end-all. So what people should do is get out of your office or your home and go volunteer in the schools for an afternoon. That's how you're going to find out what kind of education your kids are getting.
Yeah, everybody should be volunteering.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of education, I think it's an interesting, since we're on the subject, an interesting thing that's happening with the Prescott College wanting to move into the Menlo Park, the old school that was closed down. There's a lot of internal politics, and it's just
very
unfortunate.
So.
It's just, you know, it's a good idea. The neighborhood supports it, but unfortunately, the majority board there, the Democrats, said, you know, they're going to postpone. The problem is that Prescott College has to make a decision within 2 weeks, or their lease is going to be up. It just smells of politics.
It looks like that's just not going to happen.
And it's really unfortunate because it was literally stopped because of politics. And it's like, let's put it all aside and just do the right thing, you know.
And you know, speaking of grades for schools, I'll tell you one person very happy, Rex Scott, the former principal at Catalina, feels vindicated in many ways. His contract was not renewed. He was on the program yesterday. He's landed on his feet. He's the principal in the Marana School District, an elementary school. But Catalina, the TUSD board pretty much said Catalina was going to be a D school. No, the rating came out as a C school, so perhaps they moved a little prematurely on Mr. Scott with the non-renewal.
Well, good for him and good for them. You know, it's you know, like you were saying, David, that, you know, you have to have parents involved. You have to pay people volunteering. The boards can't do it all. The administrators can't do it all. You have to really get in there and make your school succeed, you know. So good for him.
Absolutely. And down where we are, where it's a growing district and it's only going to get bigger, you've got to get involved with the parents, and that's what they're really focusing on.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. That's our Friday roundtable. Dan Scheer, editor, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun. Dan, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
And Miguel Ortega, always good to see you. Miguel, we're hoping that you'll have your local weekly talk show.
We're working on it. Working on it.
Back in the fall here on Saturday, the locally owned business show, which I enjoyed very much. I was out running errands usually. I am on Saturday, and I enjoyed listening.
It's
so
a good
hopefully
spot.
We'll
I'm
get you back
it.
On.
And Dan, good to meet you. I called you David. I apologize. Thank
That's
you, Dan.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
No, no, stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training, because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
There's only one Los Changuitos Feos, and there's only one 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Don't miss this celebration of Tucson's own internationally renowned youth mariachi. Mariachi Cobre comes back from Disney World to its Tucson roots for this extraordinary event. Los Changuitos Feos 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, 7 p.m., August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Tickets available at the TCC box office or online through Ticketmaster.
Oh, I am ready for the weekend. I don't know about you. A weekend watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great weekend getaway if you're looking for something to do this weekend. Take the 3-hour drive east of Tucson, and if you're looking for a place to cool off, that's the place. Mile High elevation, hiking, camping, exploring, and doing some antiquing in historic Silver City. It's a great environment, great places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Continental Divide RV Park. You can find out more about the places to stay and the things to do at Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome the host of Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, Inside Tucson Food and Beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, a guy who is always ready for a good meal, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing just great this fine Friday. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. And, you know, when we hear the music for Weekend Watch, officially, not only does it signal the weekend, Matt, but it kind of pushes the cocktail and happy hour to begin now.
Boy, does it ever. And, you know, Bill, the U of A fall semester is about to get underway, and there's an energy around campus this week that we just love. So why not enjoy happy hour right in the thick of it at Wilco, which is on the corner of Park and University near the U of A main gate. Now, the bell rings for happy hour today at 3 o'clock, and for 3 hours you can get some great food and drink specials, including $2 off house cocktails. Now, Wilco is also one of the great destinations for authentic charcuterie, boasting an impressive lineup of salami and other cured meats paired with some great cheese. This is my kind of happy. And happy hour it is today at Wilco.
Well, you know what the aficionados of happy hour say. It's happy hour somewhere right now, somewhere in the world. It's time. So let's get at it anyway. Hey, tequila goes with salsa, and that means fun.
Yeah, what do you get when more than 40 restaurants face off to see who has the best salsa and tequila cocktails in Southern Arizona? Of course, it's the annual Salsa and Tequila Challenge tomorrow night at 6 at La Encantada over there on Skyline and Campbell. And for only $55 at the door, you can stroll through the courtyards and enjoy some live music and art performances and sample some of the best salsa and tequila you've ever had. And while you're at it, cast your vote for your favorites and see who will walk away the victor. You know, Bill, in Tucson, salsa and tequila are at the core of our community, and tomorrow night is going to showcase the best of the best.
And I'll tell you another foundation of our community, pizza.
Yeah, the parade of new pizza places continues in Tucson with the recent opening of Pionic Pizza on Campbell, just south of Glenn. Now, they say this pizza is about as crisp and light and airy as it gets, and the fire in the Pionic oven is so hot, Bill, the pizzas can only stand to be in there for 90 seconds. Some really thoughtful combinations anchor this menu, like one with sauce and cheese and jalapenos, red onion, spicy chorizo, and a fried egg. Yes, please. Looking for some new and different pizza experiences this weekend, I say give Pionic Pizza a try.
Fire in the oven, Belly, I'll tell you. For the Inside Tucson Business, we'll keep an eye on the column.
Absolutely. As I prepare for my annual pilgrimage to Nevada on Labor Day weekend to judge that famous rib cook-off, I sat down with a local pitmaster for some tips on what judges should be looking for in the perfect rib. And you'll find this mouth-watering story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend, Matt Russell. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, Rosemary Brandt, she is the best. We're so happy and delighted to have Rose on board. I am Bill Buckmaster wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Remember, Expert Talk begins tomorrow morning with the business program presented by Mike Varney of the Metro Chamber. That comes on at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.